Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. To God be all the glory. We give God praise on this Word Wednesday. We thank God for this midweek service. Thank God for the Word that God would use tonight. We thank God for this opportunity for you and I to get together and talk about the Word of God. Hallelujah. I know He said His Word will not come back void. I know that He said we shall never live by bread alone, come on, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, meaning Jesus was in the beginning. That's not the lesson tonight, but this Bible, this Word, this Logos Word, meaning the written Word of God, is inspired by God, written by so many writers and so many authors, but it is the Word of God. God and His Word are synonymous, and we thank God that the Word refers to Jesus and Jesus refers to the Word. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. So when you read Genesis 1:1 and you go to John 1:1, there's a connection. There is great revelation in those two scriptures. We're going to pray and we're going to get into the lesson tonight, because those things are not what I want to talk about, but I do want to talk about studying to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing God's Word. And we're going to talk about the Word tonight. Let us first pray and ask God's blessing upon our time together. Heavenly Father, in your Son Jesus' name, this is the day that you have made. We did rejoice and we are glad in it. Now, Father God, we thank you with two or more gathered. You say you be in the midst of us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being on this line. We thank you for the technology working and flowing. We thank you for this opportunity to learn and to grow and to develop and to mature in the things of God. So, Lord, have your way tonight. Use me, your manservant, to teach and to preach and to declare your word, exegeting the scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I get excited every opportunity I get to come before God's people and teach the word. And we're going to start, we're going to go back to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, but I really want to go to Proverbs chapter 3 first, Psalm 1 and Psalm 37. That's the order I want to start tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, Psalm 1, Psalm 37, and then, bam, we're going right into so many foundational scriptures that's going to lead into our topic tonight, which is developing unshakable faith. You and I, in the times in which we're living, must and we have to develop unshakable faith. Things are going to come at us. Things are going to come to us. Things are going to come against us. People are going to work against us. People are going to come against us. You're going to be rejected. As we heard last night, there's a great persecution against God's people. But in the middle of all of that, even God says through the prophet Ezekiel in Revelation, he said, I will shake the heavens. I will shake the heavens and the earth, meaning God is going to stir some stuff up. But those that will remain, that's why our faith must become unshakable. And we're going to see these three scriptures real quickly as we look at some people that had that unshakable faith. And I still scratch my head at how they got through what they got through. Hopefully we can look at Abraham. We can look at David. We'll look at Ezekiel and Hezekiah, to see and to learn and to grow from these great men and women of God and how their faith remained. There's so many listed in Hebrews chapter number 11, which I will not go there. I believe the book of Hebrew was written by Apollos through my studying. Some say the Apostle Paul could have written it. Very few say Peter Cephas wrote it, but I'm leaning, like most historians, leaning toward the Apollos, the great apostle Apollos, writing the book of Hebrews. But in that book, chapter 10, he tells us not to fall away, to keep the faith. There's a great reward. And chapter number 11, he goes into great detail about so many who kept the faith. Just like we read last night through the Apostle Paul, he said, I fought the good fight, I ran my race. Then he said, I kept the faith. And we want to talk about unshakable faith tonight. And there's so many in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. If you read that chapter, anytime your faith starts to waver, go ahead and read Hebrews 11. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, verse number 1, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is not just our belief in God and what we believe. That is the core definition. And if you read the Amplified, it's the assurance, it's the confidence, it's the guarantee. There's so many synonyms, there's so many words that talk about faith and why we as believers need faith. And four or five times in the Bible, it's recorded that the just shall live by faith. The just meaning you and I. Romans chapter 8, he said, we have been justified by God. We have been predestined. We have been glorified by God. So as we read these scriptures tonight, let God have his way as we talk about developing unshakable faith. First scripture, we're going to move quickly through these first three. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. I love this. We had it hanging in our old church on First Street because we wanted to get it into every member, into every person, even our newer members to the church. Read all of Proverbs chapter number 3. I'm not going to start at verse 1, which I wanted to do, but for the sake of time, we're going to start at verse number 5. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with your substance, your money, and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. I want to hone in and I want to focus in on verse 5 to 7, meaning trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding. We have to do that. Sometimes your confidence in God and your faith in God, your belief in God, your trust in God will bother some people. Come on. It will make people feel uncomfortable because we know without God we can do nothing, those of us who believe in the Almighty. Jesus said in Mark chapter number 11, have faith in God. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. As we start in the book of Genesis looking at Abraham, we're going to see his faith in God. But first, quickly, look at Psalm chapter number 1. Turn back one book in the Bible. We were just in Proverbs. And if you go back to Psalm chapter number 1, I need the latest foundation. I need the latest groundwork because we need these things if we're going to have unshakable faith in God. Number 1, the proverb writer said, trust in him. Number 2, as we look at Psalm number 1, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the ways of sinner, nor sit in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted near rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft which drive the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the way of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, that's you and I, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Our ways, those of us that trust in God, will never perish. Because we believe in God, we believe in Scripture, we confess Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, we are going to heaven. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is a scripture that every believer should know. If you're going to witness, if you are going to evangelize, God bless you. To anybody in your family, anybody that you love, anybody at work, anybody at school, please know John 3:16. So God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall never perish. You're not going to die. You're not going to vanish. You're not going to go away, but shall have eternal life. That means you will live for on, forever, 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 through infinity. You won't die, but you will go on and on and on according to the word of God, and we will reign and live with Jesus forever and ever and ever. But he says in Psalm number 1, even in the world in which we're living, we have to make some decisions about who we hang around, who we run with, who we're tight with. We have to make those decisions. He says, scorners, mockers, sinners. We have to make some tough decisions. No, Pastor Anthony, you tell me to get rid of certain people? No. We're not a cult. We're not advocating isolation from the world. But what we're saying is that we got to make some good decisions about who we allow in our space. Finally, Psalm number 37, and I need to get over to Genesis very quickly. But let's look at Psalm number 37, because we are going to talk tonight about developing unshakable faith. And we're going to start in Genesis 14, looking at the life of Abraham. But in Psalm number 37, another groundwork for developing unshakable faith, he says in verse number 1, fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be envious of those that work iniquity. And it goes on to say what's going to happen to them. But verse number 3, trust in the Lord, there's that word trusting in God again, and do good. Never let anybody get you to do bad. Like Pastor told Sister Rita last night during the prayer, love the hell out of people. There are people that's going to come against you. The enemy's going to work through certain people to try to rattle your feathers, to try to push certain trigger buttons in your life, to try to set you off and to get you back into anger, get you back into unbelief, get you back into unforgiveness, try to get you to operate out of anger instead of operating out of the spirit. And the enemy has a way of working through people. But verse number 3 says, trust in God and do good, so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's the one I wanted to get to. When you love Bible study, when you love prayer, when you love church, when you fall in love with reading God's word, when you pray in the morning and pray at night and pray throughout your day, when you read the scripture, even if it's boring, force yourself to read it anyway. Glory be to God, because you will fall in love with the word of God as it begins to speak to you. As the word of God, why y'all always talking about the word of God speaking to me? Because the word is a living thing. This is not just ink on a paper. The word of God is alive and well. And if you read it, even though it's natural reading, it will speak to you because your spirit will hear from it. Amen, somebody. Commit your way unto the Lord. Verse number 5, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse number 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of the one that prosper in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. He says, cease from anger, stop angering, forsake wrath, forsake anger. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Never get anybody to get you to become negative, to start doing bad. Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he said, don't be overcome by evil, the last verse, but overcome evil by doing good. So we are in a day where, Pastor Anthony, you give me a lot of scriptures, you give me a lot of word, and some of this stuff is hard to live up to. Trust me, I know. I'm in the marketplace. I'm in the church. I've been hurt in the church. I've been hurt in the marketplace, but we got to keep it moving. That's why we got to develop this unshakable faith in God. Now I'm going to Genesis chapter number 14, and we can look at our first person, Abraham, one of the great heroes of the Bible, Father Abraham. Father Abraham, one of the great heroes of the Bible, Abraham. To God be the glory. We're going to look at Abraham through Genesis 14, but first, we're going to look where it started in Genesis chapter number 12. Because in Genesis chapter number 12, God gives Abraham a promise. And we need to understand that promise and prophecy makes a huge difference. Huge. Because the prophetic word over your life, the promise of God over your life, God will keep his word that he has spoken to you about your prosperity, about your posterity, that's your children, about your future, about your present. God is always concerned about what he has said and what he has spoken over our lives. So even though I want to start in Genesis 14, I want to be accurate, and I want to just take my time instead of rushing so we can really get the real glean and learn, because we're talking about unshakable faith tonight, developing unshakable faith. And Abraham had to do some things. Even after he got this word in Genesis 12, that's why I want to start here, some things happened immediately that he did not expect. Genesis 12 says this, church, people of God. Now the Lord has said to Abram, his name is still Abram at this time, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, your relatives, and from your father's house. His father made idols. His father's name was Terah. He was an idol maker, an idol worshiper, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. This is God speaking to Abraham. He's going to make a great nation. He's going to do this in Abraham. He came to Abraham. Abraham minding his business, and God comes to Abraham, Abram, and gives him this. I felt like running just when I said it. Just like God interrupted my life. Come on, somebody. And God interrupted your life. We were doing our own thing. We were having our own fun. We were doing life the way we knew to do life. And God said, nope. I'm coming in, I'm interrupting, and I'm going to come in and intercede and interfere with your plans, and I need you to give me a yes. Hallelujah. Because God will not force his will upon our lives. And as you came to Bible study tonight, as you go to church on Sunday, as you come to prayer on Tuesday night, that's you saying, God, here's another yes. And here's another yes, I'm coming to Bible study. Here's another yes, I'm coming to church on Sunday. Every time you do something to affirm your faith in God, you are developing unshakable faith. Because faith comes by hearing, amen somebody, and hearing through the word of God. I'll never forget, as a new believer, before I met Pastor Rebecca, I had my best friend. I tried to introduce him to church, but he didn't want to go to church with me. And I began to go to church by myself. And don't think the devil did not try to talk me out of going to church. I was a new believer, didn't know anybody, big old church. But there was a group of men, and God used these brothers. There was a group of men that embraced me. They saw me. They spoke. They saw me. They were friendly. They saw me, and they invited me to stuff. And it offset the negativity that I experienced in that same church. I told my wife there was a deacon. There was a set of deacons. And I used to tell my wife when I first met her, there's a deacon in this church. And I'm thinking, you know, you're part of the diaconate. You're part of the ministry. You're part of the leadership in this great church. Bishop Hilliard is a man of God. Pastor Patricia Wilson, Pastor Glover Williams, Minister Brown, Minister Robinson, Minister Roper. These are great men of God, not just in the pulpit and women of God, but they were friendly outside of the pulpit. Come on, somebody. They were powerful in the pulpit as they preached to us, but as you saw them in the hallway, you saw them on a sidewalk, you saw them in a parking lot, they still had a great demeanor. They had a wonderful attitude. Come on, somebody. They were not just one way in the church and another way outside of the church. Glory be to God. I am not going to get off topic tonight, but I just need to go there for a second. And I used to speak to this deacon in the church. He was taller than me. I'm about 6'3". He was about 6'6", 6'7". And I don't look up to too many people. But I would speak to him, and he wouldn't speak back. I would wave to him, and he wouldn't wave back. And I said, well, maybe he didn't hear me. Maybe he didn't see me. So I would speak louder, and he still wouldn't speak back. I would wave more, adamantly, and he still wouldn't wave back. And I said, my God, this guy don't like me. But it was too many people coming at me that did like me. Amen, somebody. God will always put people in place to allow you to develop unshakable faith. Ah, boy, I wasted some time there, but we're going to keep reading. Verse number 3 in Genesis 12, we're going to go quickly to Genesis 14. And I will bless thee, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed. That means he put feet to his faith. That means he believed God. That means he did something to show that he believed God. As the Lord has spoken unto him, and Lot, that's we great look at Genesis 14. We got to look at the life of Lot. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, her name was not yet Sarah, Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, in other words, his nephew, and all their substance that they had gathered. Abraham was not poor. Please understand, he had money, he had livestock, his father left him well off. And the souls that had gotten in Haran, he had servants. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Abraham was not poor. The gospel is not a poor man's gospel. I don't know why people try to categorize our faith as that. But there were many people in the Bible that, yes, some were poor and became rich, but there were many that started out very well. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, the Apostle Paul was wealthy, educated man. And we're looking at now Abram, a very wealthy person with servants and money and everything. So he obeyed God, and God gave him a promise. Now, because we're talking about developing unshakable faith, let's look at Genesis 14, verse number 12. And I will fill in the blanks as I catch you up on what's going on here. And they took Lot. No, verse number 11, I'm sorry. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals, all of their precious and gold cups and all the gold, all the silver, everything. And they went their way. These four kings invaded Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took everything. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and they took his goods and departed. Let me just say right here, God blessed Abraham so mightily that Lot, his nephew, was blessed, the one that went with him. Lot had sheep, he had camels, he had goat, he had servant, he had money, he had silver, he had gold, and they were contending with one another, they were fighting with one another, because Abraham had a lot of wealthy stuff and servants and animals, so did Lot. So because they men were fighting one another, their servants were fighting one another. Abram said, we cannot be like this. We are family. And he told Lot, look at what part of this land you want and what side you go to, I'll go to the other side. Lot looks up and he sees Sodom and Gomorrah. It was green. It had a river. It looked like they were partying something hard over there, and it looked like that was the right choice to make, Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot went that way, and Abraham went the opposite way. Now we see Sodom and Gomorrah being invaded by these four kings, and they took Lot prisoner. They were going to make him into a slave, and they took all that wealth that he had along with his servants and his wives and everything. Verse number 13. And there came one that escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, go to verse 14, told Abram what happened. Verse 14. And Abram heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318 men, and pursued, there's that word again, remember, over in David, should I pursue this troop? I preached that on Sunday, that took David's wife, his animals, and all his children. The same language is used here. Abram got 318 men, and they pursued these four kings, this army that was much bigger than them, unto Dan. Look at verse number 15. And he divided himself against them and his servants by night, and he smote them, he killed them, and he pursued them unto Haba, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And watch this, verse number 16, glory be to God. This is going to encourage somebody tonight. And he brought back all, woo, all the goods, and also he brought back again his brother Lot. He got his nephew back. And all of his stuff, all of his goods. And the women also. And all the people. Come on, glory be to God. I just need to stop right there because I'm going to keep reading. God is telling me to speak into somebody's life tonight. You're going to get it back. You're going to get it back, whatever that is. I can't define it for you, but you know what slipped through your fingers. You know what got away. You know what you lost. Amen, somebody. And God told me to tell you tonight, you're going to get it back. Give God praise for it right now. Hallelujah. Praise him like you already got it back. Praise him like God is going to work on your behalf and allow you to get it back. I give God praise for restoring everything that the enemy tried to take away. I give God praise for replacing everything that the enemy tried to steal away. We give God praise for restoring everything that we will recover. I'm in recovery. You're in recovery. And you will recover all, just like David. Man. Pastor, if I had that praise music, I would hit that button right now, and we're going to work on this technology, and I would give God a praise. I would hit a button, and I would give God a praise right now. Glory be to God. And Pastor, she used to have this show, and she had praise. She had clapping hands. She had all this technology, and we're going to get that done again. Glory be to God. But verse number 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him. No, that's not what I want. Look at verse number 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. That's why I gotta slow down a little bit here, because I want you to see scripture working. I want you to see how they did things in the Old Testament, how it's a mirror of things that they do in the New Testament. Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God. They refer to Jesus as the spirit of Melchizedek in the New Testament. And look at Melchizedek. The Bible said he had bread and wine. At our church, we had Holy Communion on Sunday. Amen, somebody. And we have the bread and we have the wine, because in Luke 22, Jesus held up the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is going to be broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me." This is my blood, as he held up the wine. This is my blood that will be shed for the remission of your sin. Drink ye all of it. So we see Melchizedek, way before Jesus did that in Luke 22, way before Jesus was crucified for our sins, we see a mirror, a symbol of what's to come in Genesis chapter number 15. Bread and wine. Look at verse number 19. And he blessed him. Who did he bless? He blessed Abram. And he said, now he's speaking, he's prophesying, he's proclaiming a word. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes. There's the tithe of all. Our church believe in the tithe. It was before the law, it was during the law, and it was after the law. It's a biblical principle, the tithe. Abram gave tithe. Jacob gave tithe because they were blessed. He prophesied to Abram, you will be blessed and possess heaven and earth. Glory be to God. I'm getting excited. Let's look at another person. That's one that had developed unshakable faith. Because in Genesis 12, he gave Abram a promise. Two chapters later, Abram has to go to war. God, you didn't tell me that was going to happen. You didn't warn me about risking my life for my nephew. You know, we took a plane to Florida, and on our way to Florida, we took Spirit Airlines. Glory be to God. I almost quickened when I said it. Pastor, we took Spirit Airlines. The name matters. Glory be to God. Pastor Rebecca, she said, we're taking Spirit there. Y'all know it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit. Come on, somebody. That's not a coincidence that we took Spirit Airlines out of all the other airlines. And she said, we're going to take United back. And there's nothing wrong with United. That's another good name. Because blessed are those that dwell in unity. I can talk about that, but we're not going to talk about that. But we took Spirit Airlines, and as we're up in the air, this bell starts to come on. And there's a bing, 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 and you see the seatbelt light come on. Buckle your seatbelt. And the pilot comes on, and I don't know, I guess it's in pilot school, but they always have a calm voice. They always have such a mellow voice. And even before we took off, our pilot was a regular comedian. He said, this plane is about to go to Orlando, Florida. And if you're on this plane and you want to go somewhere else, you can go somewhere else later, but you will land in Orlando. Your destination will be Orlando like the rest of us. And my wife and I jokingly said, oh, we got a comedian as a pilot. And we had so much fun because he had a great personality. But that pilot warned us about turbulence to come. And as we hit that turbulence, they want you to buckle up because the plane got a little rocky. And that's the instruments that they see. They can see through a storm and through pockets of air that turbulence is coming. But you and I know life is not like that. Glory be to God. I feel like preaching, but I'm teaching. Sometimes life do not warn you and I about the turbulence that we will face. But life gets a little rocky and a little shaky sometimes. And as we develop unshakable faith, we won't fall away. We won't quit. We won't allow the storm to make us turn back when times get hard or things get a little rocky. Amen, somebody. But when we develop unshakable faith, God gives us the ability to hang in there during tough times. Amen. To God be the glory. Now let's look at this next scripture, because we're going to look at another person that faced a trial. I told you sometimes I shake my head when I look at some of these biblical people and what they went through, what they endured, and how they got through it. But David, again, I want to get you caught up on where we start. as we look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting at verse number 19, David sins with Bathsheba, and he has adultery. Not only that, he puts her husband Uriah in front of a great battle because he wants his secret to be kept, and he wants his secret not to get out about him sleeping with another man's wife. So he gets her husband, and he puts him in front of the battle, and he tells the captain of the host to make sure Uriah loses his life. And that's just what happened. Then the man of God goes on about his merry way, but God sends a prophet named Nathan and speaks into David's life about his sin that he will not get away with. God sees everything, beloved. And now we see Bathsheba, she's pregnant, she has the baby. But Nathan the prophet speaks into David's life that the baby will not survive. And we're going to see unshakable faith that David has as we see this thing unfold, how God is going to bless David in the future. But let's look at what David goes through during this season in his life. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 19. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, yes, he's dead. Then David arose from the earth, and he washed his face, and he anointed himself. And he changed his clothes, his apparel. And he came to the house of the Lord, and he began to worship. And he came to his own house, and he required, and he set bread before himself, and then he began to eat. Then when his servants saw what was going on, they said, what thing is this that you're doing? You fast and you wept when the child was sick and he was alive. But when the child was dead, you arose and then you began to eat. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and I wept. And I said, who can tell whether God will be graceful and gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore I fast. Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him. Glory be to God. But he shall not come to me. Verse number 24, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and he went into her, and he lay with her, and they conceived a son, and they called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. David had King Solomon. David had another son because David had unshakable faith. And God honored that. And God will honor your faith when you keep moving, when you keep moving forward by faith. We used to have a sign in our church, moving forward by faith. And you and I, in spite of whatever it is we walk through, we must keep the faith. Look at 2 Kings chapter number 20. Go a couple of books up. 2 Kings chapter number 20. Looking at the life of Hezekiah. Hezekiah receives a prophecy, a prophetic word from the man of God. Then he receives another prophecy, a prophetic word from the man of God. And God is showing you and I, as we receive prophecy, the prophetic word, it is up to you and I to act on that thing. 2 Kings chapter number 20, verse number 1. I pray this is helping somebody because it's sure helping me as I develop unshakable faith. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus said the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and you shall not live. Verse number 2, then he turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good. Remember what I told you when we read Proverbs and Psalm to always do good? Hezekiah now has a track record to say to God, listen, God, a lot of people did evil, but I did good. And Hezekiah now has that record that he can give to God. I did good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept. And it came to pass, before Hezekiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him again. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, my servant, my captain, and my people, thus said the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, come on. I have seen your tears, come on. Behold, I will heal thee, come on. On the third day you shall go unto the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years, and I will deliver you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hezekiah heard the word of the Lord. He heard the prophecy that he knew was accurate. He began to weep. He began to pray. He began to rehearse what he lived and what he did. And God heard him. Just like God hear your prayers tonight. Come on, glory be to God. God see your tears tonight. Glory be to God. God knows when you talk back to him. God, I've been going to church. God, I've been trying to change. God, I've been tithing. God, I've been serving. God, I've been loving on people. God, I forgave those that hurt me. God, I'm reading your word. God, I'm praying more than I've ever prayed in my entire life. God, I am changing. God, I am believing you. As you begin to do that, you are developing unshakable faith that will get the attention of Almighty God. So this is why when people try to persecute you at work, do good. Pastor Rebecca said, love the hell out of them. She was talking scripture. Be not overcome evil, but overcome evil by doing good. The Beatitudes, the first sermon that Jesus preached, he said, blessed are you when you are persecuted by men, because you will inherit the kingdom of the earth. Hallelujah. So people come against you, love them anyway. People hate on you, love them anyway. People don't support you, love them anyway. I listen to Steve Harvey every day I go to work. And Steve was saying, he always gives 15 minutes. He talks about his faith in God. He talks about unshakable faith in God. He talks about so many things that he go through. And his story today was about this man who has been trying to sue him since 1995. Now, I'm not defending Steve. I don't know the details of the case. But he said 6 times he's been in and out of court with this man trying to sue him for $5 million. And 6 lawyers have dropped the case because they don't have enough evidence. And Steve is saying he had unshakable faith. And now this guy is saying that he's sick because Steve is causing me stress and da 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 da. Long story short, Steve said, I put my faith in God. And all my enemies, all that come against me, all the haters, all the blogs, all the Facebook posts, all the newspaper articles, all the people that don't like me on Family Feud and my TV show and my radio show, he goes on to say, I put my faith in God. And then we can see, I'm thinking about a coworker. There's a mailman that I work with in Hoboken. I'm getting to my next point, but I need to share this. There's a mailman that I work with in Hoboken. His name is Larry. Great brother, great brother. I talked to another postal worker today. They said he's trying to come back because he was 6 years away from his retirement. And he and I work for FedEx. He worked for the post office. We joke about home ownership. He owns 2 homes, 1 in North Carolina, 1 here in Jersey. He rents that house out. He's doing well. And he had an incident where he went into the stop, and a dog began to attack him, and the dog came after him. And he ran into this glass window or this glass wall, and he shattered both of his knees. And he tore ligaments in both knees.
Now he's in therapy trying to come back to be a postal worker because he wants his full pension, and I can't say I blame him. And I thought about life as I was doing my route. Oh, I'm getting happy. I'm getting happy. I'm getting happy. That there was a time in my life, and I'm 55 years old. I'll be 56 next month. That it was hard and difficult for me to walk around a hospital bed. Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me? I had an IV attached to me. I could not eat anything, so they gave me this milky liquid for days, for weeks. I could not eat any foods at all. I said at all. I could not eat food, not baby food, not Gerber food. What they call it, Pastor, when they mash your food up?
Puree.
I could not eat at all. I lost almost 40 pounds, 50 pounds. I was 190, almost 200. When I came out of the hospital, I was barely 160. So lost almost 40 pounds. And I could not walk around even my hospital bed. And sometimes everything's not a shout, even though I like to shout. Everything is not a loud voice, even though I like using a loud voice. I sat there and I gave God a silent thank you, Jesus. I'm real quiet, just me and God. Just me and God having a conversation. And I said, Lord, I thank you for restoring my job back to me. I told you you're going to get it back. I'm about to get loud again, but I'm trying to talk. You're going to get back. Just for a season, I could not do my FedEx duties. I could not be a courier. I could not lift a 150-pound package. I could not do over 100 stops a day. I could not drive a truck. I could not walk in and out and do the physical labor that I could not do it. And now that I can do it, he's getting the praise. Amen. Glory be to God. Now that I can do it, I can pray for my brother Larry. And I said, God, allow him to get that job back. Even if they put him on light duty, whatever it is, so he can secure that pension. Because I like Larry. Larry likes me. And we are real good buddies.
Amen.
And then I thought about God giving me that job back and allowing me to have that unshakable faith. Because I don't want to get off track, but I had a wife that prayed for me. I had a church that prayed for me. Y'all prayed for me. And I had unshakable faith. And I believe God. One time my doctor sat on my bed and the time schedule and the time frame. What time?
Go ahead and testify.
Great doctor. I mean, he's the chief of staff. He's done many a surgery. He's had many patients like me with similar circumstances. But he was shaking his head. And he took a liking to me. He took a liking to my wife. She had a great sense of humor. She knew Patty. She knew Kim. She knew all of my doctors. She knew the administration. She got to know the people at Morristown Medical Center. My wife just went through this whole thing with me, and I love her all the more because of it. But Pastor Rebecca, you know, just me and him. I didn't have a roommate at the time. And Dr. Roland Deli, he's a busy man. Came in, had his pad, and he sat on my bed. I'm like, yo, that's my leg, man. What are you doing? But I'm 6'3 in this little hospital bed, and he kind of tapped me on the leg, and, you know, he kind of shook his head a little bit. You know, we now did everything. We trying everything. We need you to go to the bathroom. We want you to start eating again. We want these numbers to show, you know, in your favor, and it's just not happening. And it was kind of, you know, at a loss. But I had unshakable faith.
Amen.
Because every day a team of doctors came into my room. I had my Bible on my bed, but it just wasn't for show. God said, yeah, put this Bible in your bed, because he had me try to speak to me, you know, and God told me, I think it was my second day into the hospital. He said, no, put this Bible in the bed, physically, not on that little coffee table thing they got in your hospital room. He said, I need this Bible in your bed with you. I need this word in your bed with you. And they would come in, and they would see that Bible, because it wasn't no little Bible. Yeah, I had the little one. But the doctors, they were interns, and then they would have the chief person. And they would see that Bible, and they would say, how you doing? And I would say, great. I'm great. I'm great. I'm in pain. I didn't feel great. Sometimes it didn't look great because they all had charts and stats on what I was going through. But my response, my words matter. Oh, glory be to God. Words matter. Words matter. I'm going to finish that story, but turn to Ezekiel 37 because this is where I want to close out tonight because words do matter. And as we look at Ezekiel, his words matter. Ezekiel 37. He's about to prophesy. He's about to use his words because God is saying to you, sometimes you got to speak to a thing. I don't know who that's for. But Pastor Anthony, I'm a quiet person. I'm shy. I'm bashful. No, there's sometimes you don't have to do it in front of me. You don't have to do it in front of Pastor Rebecca. You don't have to do it in front of your spouse. But sometimes you got to open up your mouth and say something. Amen. Devil, you will not have my child. Devil, you will not have my marriage. Devil, you will not close the doors of this church. Devil, you will not mess with my money any longer. Amen, somebody. Sickness, you got to get up out of my body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All this depression that I've been facing, all this heavy sadness, all this burden, all this worry, all this fear and stress, the devil is a liar. Open up your mouth and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes. Sometimes you got to speak to your storms. To God be the glory. But long story short, the reason I'm here teaching this Bible study is because he delivered me.
Amen,
amen somebody. Pray. Oh, I wish I feel like opening up the phone line right now and have y'all praise God with me, but I'm not going to do it. I just want to look at scriptures, Ezekiel 37, and we're going to close out here, Ezekiel 37. Glory be to God. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. The spirit, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and it is a person. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me in the spirit of the Lord, and he sat me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy. In other words, use your words. Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. He's using his words. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring flesh upon you, and I will cover your skin, and I will breathe in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, I told you faith is an action. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He spoke. He used his mouth. He used his tongue. And I prophesied. And there was a noise. And behold, there was a shaking. We're developing unshakable faith. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, there was flesh that came upon the skin on the bones, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. The skin covered the bones, but they were not breathing because there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, speak to the wind. Thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, breathe. Breathe upon these. Say to them again, you may live. So I prophesied. He used his words as I was commanded. and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. We'll close out there. As you develop your unshakable faith in God, I believe by faith that you're going to get the wealth that you're after. You're going to get that marriage or that relationship that you're after. You're going to live a long, healthy life. God is going to restore some of your relationships with your family members. God is going to remove certain burdens and certain things that haunt us. God is going to give you your joy back and your praise back and your happiness back. Some of us have lost jobs and have lost apartments and homes. Maybe you lost an automobile. I believe by faith that God is going to give it back to you. Whatever it is you need from God, put your faith and your trust back in God. Father, I thank you for the word tonight. I thank you, God, that you would do a work in everyone listening tonight. Because even as they heard this lesson about developing unshakable faith, the enemy is going to try to come. The enemy is going to try to create a circumstance. But I believe by faith that their faith was stirred up tonight and that all of our faith grew tonight. So I thank you for these. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join us. 1482 Maple Avenue this Sunday, New Creation Christian Ministries. Bring somebody to church with you. Bring your children, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, your neighbor, your classmate. Tell somebody about your church. Tell somebody there's a word that pastor is going to preach that will minister to them. So many are going through so much in the days in which we're living. And that hurting family member, that hurting friend, send them a text, shoot them an email, get them a phone call. Say, you know what? I know what you're going through. Why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? There's a positive atmosphere. It's an uplifting atmosphere. There's an encouraging atmosphere in my church. And I believe it will bless you. And bring somebody to church with you and invite them. You know, pull on them a little bit and say, I believe it will bless you. So I will see you in church on Sunday, those of you who are in the New Jersey area. If you're not in the New Jersey area, we thank you for your faithful giving. Pastor said it last night, we cannot do ministry, we cannot do church, we cannot do anything without your faithful giving. $20, $50, $100, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, sow $1,000 into the ministry. We are doing the work of the Lord. So I thank you and I praise you in advance for your faithful giving. See you on Sunday. God bless each and every one of you. I love you. Pastor Rebecca loves you. And God bless all of you. Good night. Amen. Stay strong and keep your unshakable faith.